The kick is away. And the kick is... It's goal!
And now for something completely different.
Hey, everybody, I'm Chef Tim Lopez.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
I work as a line chef and first cook at the Eagles NovaCare in South Philadelphia. And this show is about taking a look at football through the foods that we all love. We're going to talk with players, coaches, chefs, and celebrities about the food culture of our team and our Eagles community. This is Feeding the Birds. Hey, everybody. Chef Tim Lopez here again with the Feeding the Birds podcast. I hope everybody had a safe and happy holiday season. And right before the new year, we're bringing you a twofer today. Normally, we do three segments, but we have some really good interviews with Brent Celek and also our nutrition coordinator here at the Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Mike Minnis. So, first off, I got a chance to sit down with Celek. He's a hell of a guy. He's a foodie, so he's really into some really top-notch food, and he gets out and about and tells us a little bit about his favorite places to eat in Philadelphia. We also took a look at his diet here at the NovaCare Center and what he does to stay lean and mean. And we also talked a little bit about stuff that he cooks at home and some of his techniques for dry aging beef to make some really, really good steaks. So I'm going to just kick it off to Brent Celek. Honored to have this interview, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me.
No problem. Thanks for coming in, man. I know you guys got a busy schedule. Looking forward to finishing off the season on a high note and just taking it to all comers, just taking them down. So I know you're real busy. Thank you for coming in today. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your food culture. I want to talk a little bit about LaSalle High School.
Yep.
I know you're proud of your high school. And when you were active in that high school in the football program, what were the kind of things that you were eating back then? What was the type of foods that you went for?
Well, I'm probably not as proud of the food back then. It was a lot of fried stuff. They had cheeseburgers, hamburgers every single day. I mean, honestly, I was the type of guy that I made my own lunch. So I would take like turkey sandwich, some chips, an apple, and then I might get some ice cream or something from the cafeteria. But I wasn't into eating a lot of the fried foods or the pizzas, that type of stuff when I was in high school. Every now and again, I would do it, but not very often.
Is there anything that was kind of your go-to besides that turkey sandwich that maybe the family hooked up for you or that you always made yourself?
There's nothing really that I, you know, beyond a good sandwich that I would make. Sometimes they would do chili at the cafeteria, so I would be like, all right, today I'm not going to take a sandwich. I'm going to eat the chili there because I'm a big fan of chili.
That's the Skyline chili, right?
Yes.
Did you have a three-way or did you just stick with the straight chili?
Always a three-way.
Always a three-way.
Yeah.
I talked a lot about that with Jordan Hicks, and I still can't believe the amount of cheese that goes on that thing.
Dude, it's the best.
It's sick. Yeah, it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's good, but man, that packs a punch. Tell me a little bit about growing up in Cincinnati. I know we talk a lot about the chili. Were there any other hometown favorites?
Yeah, the two things that come to mind, Montgomery and ribs. I think still the best ribs I've had. You know, I've gone to a lot of places and tried ribs, but Montgomery and ribs are better than anything. And then Grater's ice cream.
Okay.
That's, to me, the best, too.
That's homemade, like real
deal.
That's
homemade. The good thing is I can get that at Whole Foods now. They sell Grater's ice cream here in Philly.
Oh, good. So now I have another stop to make on the way home today. That's good.
Yes. Get the black raspberry chip.
Dude, I love black raspberry. That's awesome.
Yes.
That's like my favorite flavor ever. Okay. So I got to check that out. Grater's, you said?
Grater's. Grater's.
G-R-A-E-T-E-R-S. I'm on it. So when you went to college, did your diet change any when you got into college football? Did you start looking a little bit more at sports science or what certain things you were eating, how it was affecting your performance?
Not as much. I mean, I always tried to eat healthy. Growing up, my mom used to cook for us, and she used to always cook pretty healthy meals. So I think because I was eating those healthy meals, that was more what I was accustomed to, and I would lean towards doing that stuff. And in college, I had way more variety, more options. So I'd eat a little bit healthier. They had the cafeteria there. I'd kind of eat bad for breakfast and then try to eat healthier for my other meals. But still, when I was in college, I didn't eat as healthy as I'm eating now.
Right. Well, there's been a lot of changes, I'm sure, in your life and, you know, in the last 10 years that you've been here as an Eagle, not only to our cafe, but to the wide variety of foods that are available to you here in the building. Got to be a lot different from college, but you still tend to eat pretty healthy. I know when you come in the mornings now, you have a pretty much standard scramble that, you know, you and I developed together with that go-to hot sauce that everybody's been loving. Tell us a little bit about your breakfast.
Yeah. So for breakfast, I like eating bacon over sausage, so that's just my preference. So I usually just do onions, peppers, bacon, and then egg whites or eggs, and then the camouflage sauce. And the camouflage sauce is unreal. I mean, I think that makes it.
I really think it does, too. It's one of the most popular things. For guys that don't know what we're talking about, there's a hot sauce company out of Seattle, New Jersey called Hank Sauce. I got in touch with them. A lot of people here were big fans. A lot of people didn't know. You weren't aware of the company.
Clue.
I know Jason Kelsey was a huge fan. And we went up bringing some of their product into the building. And it's been a go-to for a lot of guys in the mornings, especially with different things that we hook up, you know, on the breakfast bar and go-tos at lunch with different proteins. So I'm glad you guys are enjoying it.
Yeah, the camouflage is perfect for breakfast.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely. It goes with everything. It goes with everything. I've put it on many, many different things. But I know you're a huge fan of that. So we're going to continue bringing it, man. You know, it's good stuff. What about when you make your smoothie? I know you're always hooking up a smoothie. What do you put in that?
So usually start with spinach. If there's other greens there, I'll use those, but usually it's just spinach. Put a little bit of ice in it. Then I go pineapple, strawberry, blueberry, and blackberry. And then usually some orange juice to sweeten it up a little bit. I feel like that gives me the energy for the day. You know, I get my fruits in me, natural sugars, which is good. I feel good the entire day when I do that in the morning.
Well, I'm glad that you do, that you balance, you know, the eggs and the bacon and stuff that you're having with a smoothie. A lot of guys, not all of our players do that, but I see the ones that tend to hit the smoothie first and then pick up something off the breakfast bar seem to have a lot more pep in their step. So I think that's a good way to get your fruits and veg real early. What do you do for lunchtime? I know you come in all the time now and get a salad. That wasn't always the case. Like back in the day, you still ate healthy, but it wasn't salads all the time.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to transition to having a salad pretty much every day?
Well, I think I eat a lot of calories throughout the day. You know, having a nice big salad, for me, I get a lot of vegetables. I just feel a whole lot better the next day when I eat a big salad. You know, just so happens that I eat it for lunch here. Sometimes I'll eat one for dinner when I'm not here. But one big salad a day for me is perfect.
It's almost the exact same salad. You add a couple different things, maybe off of our hot vegetables or whatever, and then you just switch the protein up.
Yeah.
So it's a good go-to where you know this is what I'm getting, and I'm going to just have a different protein with it. So
exactly.
That's pretty cool, man. I like that balanced diet you got going on there because you know exactly what you're putting into your system, and you know what you're going to get out of it, what type of energy and things like that, so nothing's going to slow you down. Do you have any specialties on game day? Were things that, like, it's a tradition that you just, you know, you're going to eat it and you know it's going to carry you through the whole day?
I do a lot of rice, vegetables, and eggs. So it's similar to what I get in the morning with you. And then I do, like, rice, peas, and carrots underneath that. And then I make it into a big pile and eat it up.
Just eat it up. Just mix it up.
Yep.
Big time foodie, anything you do in the off season, stuff you really like to get into. We talked a little bit before the interview about how much you enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Basically, what I've tried to do over the years is try to find dishes that I can make and master those dishes, you know, be really good at them, whether that's chocolate cake or, you know, my grandma's chili or, you know, Cajun chicken pasta that my mom used to make. And I've got a bunch of recipes that I've started to put together of things that I can do really well. And over time, I just hope to continue to expand that and get better at cooking. One thing I do now that I love, I'm always going to continue to do it, is I dry age my own beef.
Nice.
So I get a ribeye, and I've learned the best way to do it is a bone-in ribeye. And then it probably lasts me close to 2 months. You know, it's perfect when the beef is dry aged around 40 days, I think. I've gone up to like 120 days and it kind of turns to like beef jerky after 100 some days.
Making your own beef prosciutto or whatever at that point.
Yeah.
You just doing that in like a regular fridge?
It's basically a regular fridge. I put salt inside of it to kind of pull moisture out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's its own little meat fridge that I got at my house. Like right now I have half of a ribeye in there. So usually if my wife and I want steaks, I just cut off a small chunk of it.
Right.
Cut it into ribeyes, cook it, and then we still got the other chunk that's continuing to age.
It just keeps going.
Yeah. And then like up at my lake house where they don't have great meat, I do the same thing, and then I have a grinder. So I kind of grind my own beef for either burgers or chili. It's a little bit more expensive because it's ribeye.
Right. But you're getting a higher quality product out of that.
Yeah.
And it's got to be amazing, man.
It's unreal. That's like my big thing is dry age my own beef. The grinder that I have up north, I'm going to try to get better at that so I can learn how to make sausages and do different things with that. But I love that.
Yeah, definitely follow some recipes on that. I tried my hand at doing that this past off season, actually, and I kind of winged it. Not a good idea.
Yeah.
When you're trying to make your own sausage, you really need to know what you're putting in there because
It wasn't anything bad, but it just, you know, tasted like a mouthful of sawdust because I just didn't put enough fat to protein ratio in there.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be a certain ratio, and I completely screwed it up. So they smelled good cooking, but when we cut into them, they were dry as a bone. And my wife was like, all right, so you can put that away for a while.
Yeah.
She's a big fan of me trying new stuff, but usually only if it pays off the first or second time. After that, it's just like, don't beat a dead horse, Tim. You can make better things than that. So. Yeah.
Well, one time I made meatballs with the meat grinder. And for the pork, I used actual like smoked bacon.
Right.
So put the bacon in there and the meatballs were unbelievable.
I got to give that a shot. I never would have thought to use bacon for that.
Yeah. That's use that as idea. The pork.
Okay.
Or at least a portion of the pork. You don't have to use it for
You just
all
do
of it.
Pork and beef or you put veal in there too?
No, I just use pork and beef.
Pork and beef.
I'm not a big veal guy. Oh, right. Baby cows, dude.
Oh. Baby cows, just not into it?
Just let them live for a little bit longer.
All right, yeah. They grow up, and then they become that dry-aged steak
yeah,
you're talking about.
Exactly.
So I'm fine with that. Yeah. I like veal every now and then, but I'm a fan of full beef, so.
And then the other thing that I'm really into doing everything from scratch, I think that's why I started doing the meat locker where I dry-age beef. This off-season, started learning how to make pasta, too, from scratch.
From scratch pasta.
Cool. Yeah. So I made, like, my own chili completely from scratch, using eggs, flour. Then I used the beef, grinded it up to make the meat sauce. And then I didn't make my own cheese, but that's the next thing.
That's the next deal? You want to learn how to make cheese?
Yeah.
So you want to do Skyline from the ground up, like make the pasta,
yes.
Make the chili, make the cheese, and it's the Brent yes. Selleck Skyline Chili
yeah.
at the Lake House.
Yes.
What time is dinner? Because I'm coming. I want some of that. That sounds
Hey, just
sounds
let me know
delicious.
When you're coming. I'll make it.
All right. That sounds
I
want
to learn
man.
That. I want to learn how to make pizza from scratch. I got to learn from my buddy Dave from Ravenisi. I think learning those type of things is really cool.
You mentioned to me in a little pre-interview we did about you and your wife want to take a cooking class to get some basics down.
Yeah.
What are some of the basics that you think that you really need to focus on?
Well, just things that go well together. And understanding, I guess, like, okay, if you pair this with this, it goes well. Or like having salt with sugar and acids. And I just don't know the main ingredients that you need to have in every dish
mm-hmm.
for it to be like, okay, this has got a chance to be a perfect dish. You know what I mean?
I understand what you're talking about. I think a good way to start with that, at least the way that I started, is with soup. You ever make a lot of soup?
I make a ton
of soup and stews and stuff like that. If you start and you can make a basic broth and you can make a basic soup, from that you can make anything else. That pairs well with getting into sauces. Once you're down on sauces, then you work on proteins. And before you know it, you can do sauces, soups, proteins, and then you get into side dishes and vegetables and things like that. But if you start right at the core with soup and broth and getting into that really mm-hmm. hardcore, everything else will follow because it's like at the core of it, that's pretty much how to generate flavor. If you learn how to make a good broth.
You're talking about making broth from scratch?
Broth from scratch, like chicken stock. A lot of guys are talking about bone stock. That's one of the huge things right now. Actually, Kenyon, when he got back, asked me about if we would do a bone stock. And bone stock is very time consuming.
Just boiling
bones,
right?
Very rich. It's bones, it's aromatics, like different vegetables. It's a lot of bones. The bone to vegetable ratio is 50% on the vegetables versus what you've got with the bones, but it's a ton of bones. So
and they still have the marrow
about,
in them?
Oh, yeah. They got the marrow. And in fact, a lot of that is what's going to enrich that stock and put that collagen in there that when we ingest it, helps with our joints and our muscles and things like that.
Got it.
Bone stock's a huge thing. So if you delve into any like soup making and stuff like that, if you get into stocks, that would totally power up your diet as well. And if you need a recipe, I'm right here.
You got it.
Do you have any specialty foods in Philadelphia, any really favorite restaurants or favorite types of foods that Philly provides that you really love to go out and sample?
Okay, there's a few. I love Jim Steaks is amazing. Yeah, I haven't had that in a while, but I'm a big fan of cheesesteaks. Sandwiches at 4th Street Deli.
Okay.
Unreal. Tequilas for Mexican.
Yep.
That's my favorite. And then Barclay Prime for a steak.
Amen.
And then there's this place called Ravenisi down off 322 and Route 1. And it's the best pizza I've ever had in my life. The guy makes everything from scratch himself, and then he cooks it himself. It's a one-man show. If you don't get there in time, you don't get pizza.
That good, huh?
It's that good.
It's that good. So when he's out,
it's
he's
that
out.
Good. I really rarely eat pizza other than his pizza anymore. That's how
that's
good
pretty
it is.
Cool. That's pretty cool. I love when I find a place like that that's just a go-to food. And then when you said Jim's Steaks, you know, a lot of people say, oh, Pat's, Gino's. I'm like, no, I got to hit Jim's.
Jim's to me is the best.
Yeah, it's quintessential. It's good stuff. So the new question we've been asking some of the guys that have come in here and sat in the chair and talked with me is, what's the oddest food experience you may have had? Whether it be back in the day, before you became an Eagle or while you're here in Philly or even out and abroad in the off season? What's the oddest food experience?
Man, somebody tried to get me to eat Rocky Mountain oysters, and I just can't. You'll never get me to eat that stuff. Like, I'm not into exotic foods. I'm not into eating brain. I'm not into...
Okay, good call, man.
I'm into, like, the normal cuts of meat.
Yes. Genuine stuff. So they try to get you to eat that. Where was this at?
This was in Cincinnati at a restaurant.
Okay.
And I was just not...
You were well aware of what they were.
Oh, yeah.
So you were like, I'm not...
Well, I had to ask.
Oh, you had to ask. What is it?
Yeah.
And then they told you.
And they told me, and I was like, no, I don't need to eat those. I'm good. And then I talked to Riley Cooper's dad later, and he told me, oh, yeah, man, you eat those things when they're fresh. There's nothing better than that. And I'm like, well, I'll never know because those things are not touching my mouth.
It's a good call. I don't know if the listening audience is aware of what they are, but I'm going to mention it. Rocky Mountain oysters are testicles, and they're prepared a variety of different ways. I've seen them fried and sauteed and battered and different things like that. And I am also not a fan. I don't think we'll ever be bringing that in here. There's not going to be a Rocky Mountain Oyster Day in Eagles NovaCare Cafe. It's not going to happen.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good too. I'm good. Been an absolute pleasure talking with you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
Appreciate it, Tim.
Have a good day, brother.
That was great interview with Mr. Brent Celek. Definitely want to have him back. He is a huge foodie. Those dry-aged steaks, that's something I got to get more into because I hear it just makes amazing food. And no, people, we will not be doing the Rocky Mountain oysters. I just want to reiterate that. It's not in the cards. It's not for us. We have a lot of other cuisine to focus on because we got to keep these guys lean and mean. And that's going to lead us right into our next interview with our nutrition coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Michael Minnis. I was really interested in talking with Mike for a long time. He and I have actually been working a little bit closer together since he first came on board a couple years ago, where he gives me updates on the guys' nutritional needs bi-weekly. So we're pretty much in the know on what they need to do to keep their diets 100%. So anybody that really wants to know what goes on behind the scenes for the nutrition of these guys, this guy is going to let you know. So here's our interview with Mike Minnis. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming in. I have been waiting to talk to you for quite a while. We've talked to a couple different players at this point. We talked to a couple chefs. I hit some tailgates and talked to some guys about a lot of fried food and a lot of grilled food. And I want to key into a really important area, and that is nutrition with our team. And I would love for you to fill us in with some of the stuff about that. Can you tell us a little bit about your department and how you guys handle getting these guys ready and raring to go every day?
We kind of look at nutrition as being a huge staple in terms of when we talk about recovery, because they're going out there every day on the field, putting out energy in the weight room. And so then it's kind of our job from a nutrition standpoint to build them back up so they can do it again. So kind of a way I like to explain it to the guys is every time that they go out on the field and practice or they're in the gym lifting, that type of thing, it's like taking money out of the bank. And then nutrition, the things they put back in their body, is like putting money back into the bank. So if you're a person and all you're doing is taking money out and you don't ever put anything back in, then obviously that's going to be an issue, right? And the issue in our world, when you take more out than you put back in, that's when you start looking at some injuries, you start looking at fatigue, that type of thing. So that's the big piece of it.
A lot of it has to do with performance nutrition, something I know we're focused on in the cafe with the different signage and things like that, where they have like a loading phase, recovery phase, and different types of foods that play towards that. So they're getting back some of that they lose on the field, that they lose in the weight room. So
yeah.
You tell us a little bit more about performance nutrition and the training table.
Yeah, absolutely. So performance nutrition standpoint, I really have three goals with them every day and at every meal. And so those three goals are protect, fuel, and build. So simple for them to remember. And then in the training table, we label all our foods based on what those foods do for that player. So for example, when I say protect, that's when we're talking about our fruits and vegetables and our liquids, so our hydration. And so protect stands for basically protecting our immune system. So protecting our bodies, enhancing our immune system so that they can stay healthy. And that's the most important piece of it, is because if they're not healthy and they can't practice, and if they can't practice, then they're not helping us win. So that's what we're talking about from a protect standpoint. From a fuel standpoint, that's when we're talking about our carbohydrates. So we're looking at our pastas, potatoes, rice, bread, things like that. We kind of talk about that as gasoline in the tank. So that's our fuel. So if you walk into our training table and you walk up to a brown rice dish, it's going to be labeled as a fuel food. And then the third piece is the build. And that's when we're talking about our lean proteins. So our grilled chickens, our lean beefs, turkey, eggs fall under that, those types of things. So again, that's just helping us rebuild those muscles after they put out on the field and in the weight room. So every food when you walk into our training table is labeled so those guys can understand what they're putting in their bodies, what that food's doing for them, and they can build a complete performance plate.
I love seeing that in the cafe with the signage because everything's right in front of them there. I mean, you know, they've got it color-coded. They can see the sign. They can scan it with their phone. There's a code on there that lets them put it in their counter for the day. It lets them know exactly what they need to eat. And one of the things that's cool that I think you and I have worked on together with Chef Jason is maintaining individual diet plans for some of these guys that need to lose weight or maintain weight or gain some weight. Because the weights fluctuate during the season based on what's going on or, you know, what the weather's like. I mean, I know anything can pretty much affect a player's weight. So I was very happy that, you know, we worked together on that. And I think last season, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have anybody overweight.
Right.
And that was something amazing. And I really appreciate working hard with you guys on that to help these guys maintain and stay where they needed to be for the season. So
I mean, it's definitely a team effort. And I mean, they're down there eating, what, three times a day. So that's a huge piece of it, what they're putting in their bodies. So from a weight management standpoint, that's everything.
I absolutely agree. So most of our guys, some of them, based on where they've gone to school, will come here with a little bit of a knowledge of the performance nutrition. But that's not always the case.
It's really cool because if you look at even 10 years ago in the professional realm, in the NFL, for example, I think there was only probably 5 or 10 full-time nutritionists on staff. And now there's, I think, 28, something like that. And then in college, 10 years ago, you maybe have one nutritionist for the entire athletics department. So you have one nutritionist overlooking every sport. So you can obviously, that's not optimal.
That's crazy.
Right. So, now you look at a college and they have a department now. So they have a director and then they have multiple assistants and then they have interns and graduate assistants. And so you can just see this evolution of performance nutrition. So kind of based on what you said, you can now really tell which guys come from schools that have performance nutritionists full time there. And most of them do now. I mean, especially at those big time schools.
That's pretty cool. I know when we had our interview with Mac Hollins, he was telling me about his nutritional coordinator in the school he went to in North Carolina and how she would lean on him to not have those chicken fingers as much, even though that was his guilty pleasure. And he's balanced his diet a lot more since he's come here, I think. He tends to be a creature of habit and just eat the same thing, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Do you find that type of a diet where you're just eating the same thing, you know exactly what you're putting in your body at every single meal, is that something that you would desire for a professional athlete to have as a nutritional coordinator, or should it be a little bit more varied?
I think there's pros and cons to both approaches. I would definitely aim more towards the varied. And the reason I say that is because we start getting into different micronutrients. And by micronutrients, I'm talking about just your vitamins and minerals and some other nutrients that make up foods. So if you're eating the same foods every single day, you're not getting a nice variety of some of those nutrients. Whereas if you eat a nice variety of foods, different colored fruits, different colored vegetables, different types of starch, things like that, different proteins, you're getting a better array of vitamins and minerals.
The colorful foods do that, right? The more color you have on your plate, you tend to get a better variety of vitamins and minerals and things like that.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, Matt Hasselbeck was talking about that in his interview. It was very interesting to hear, even back when he was in college and when he first was working in the NFL as a quarterback, a lot of the different things that he was doing with his diet. I mean, there's so much that goes into building that cafeteria and building that fuel bar to help these guys maintain and just, you know, be top performance. There's definitely science behind it. A lot of times in the cafe, we're walking a little bit of a tightrope. I know you've walked it yourself between what they want to eat versus what they need to eat versus what we're actually giving them to eat versus what our staff in the building eats and what the players eat, what the coaches like to eat, what we're putting out for dinners.
Right.
I mean, there's so many different criteria and categories.
Right.
It's got to get a little stressful at sometimes where you're trying to provide the best for everybody, but sometimes people just aren't happy with that. Do you ever had any issues with that where you kind of had to present your case as to here's why we're doing this, like educate them a little bit more?
I mean, education definitely is number one. And I think you'll agree with me on this, and I think most people know this, is you can't always please everybody. So that was something that I had to learn. It's a hard pill to swallow, probably the same for you still. You know that deep down, but you want to please everybody and you want to make everybody happy with every meal, but you just got to know that that's just not going to happen. You could please maybe 95% of the people, but the 5% that don't like that, that's going to bother you. I mean, I know it does me. So we do what we can do. So the way I kind of combat that is I try to, and I work with you guys to do this, is we try to offer a wide variety of things where if I'm trying to go in there as an athlete, I can basically have any option I want. If I want something very lean and clean. So if I just want to go in there and I want to eat grilled chicken, broccoli, and brown rice, I can do that. If I'm a guy that chooses to maybe eat some heavier stuff, maybe I'll go in there, maybe get a heavier protein, maybe a fattier cut of meat, maybe a mac and cheese, so maybe a little bit heavier of a starch side. But the idea is to have all those options available. So you are trying to please as many groups of people as possible, but then educating them which one they should choose. So if I'm a guy that's trying to lose weight, I should probably not do the heavier, right, every day anyways. That's probably true. Shouldn't choose the fattier cut, the fattier sides and that type of thing every single day. It's okay every once in a while, but that's where the education comes in. That's where I can come in and try to guide them in the right direction. But with all that being said, at the end of the day, they are adults and it's an environment of controlled choice, and I give them a lot of autonomy to choose the things that they want to choose. I mean, a lot of these guys have been eating longer than I have. I mean, a lot of these guys are older than me, and you know, they know what they like. So we just work together. And again, like you mentioned earlier, communication is the biggest part of it.
Absolutely. Can you talk a little bit about days of the week and how that affects what they're doing on the field versus what they might eat in the cafe or at the fuel bar?
Monday and Tuesday can be pretty flexible because Tuesday we feed them lunch, but that's after all their activities. So that can have some heavier options and that type of thing that really won't really matter that much. Wednesdays and Thursdays, you guys will do a snack for us. So we do a snack right before we go out to practice, about an hour before we go out to practice, because they will eat breakfast pretty early, around 7, 8 a.m. And then we don't practice until around 12:45. So if we didn't have anything for them, then there's a potential where a guy could not eat from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And that's just not acceptable. And they just can't do that. When we go back to the example of money in versus money out, they just can't do that. They burn a lot of calories. They need to put calories in. So we do a snack for them and you guys do a snack for them. And we got to be real careful what we give them, because there's some foods specifically that sit in your gut a little bit longer and can kind of bother their stomachs when they're out there. So from that snack standpoint, because it's so close to practice, we got to be pretty careful and we got to give them more of a high glycemic carbohydrate. So a fast digesting carbohydrate. So we can't give them a lot of high fiber type foods at that point in time, because that will sit in your stomach longer.
It's a lot of the burritos and stuff that Chef Noel does with the brown rice and the leaner proteins in there. Right. He's doing quesadillas with lean protein and not a lot of cheese. And those are the things that are going to fuel them up for practice, but it's not going to stay with them. It's not going to stay in their gut as long.
Yeah, you don't want sitting in their stomach for too long and upsetting their stomach and that type of thing. And then after practice, those lunches on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we're pretty dialed in just from a really functional food type standpoint, where we want to get a lot of color on their plates, a nice array again of foods so that they can kind of recover from Wednesday, because they got to go turn around and practice Thursday, and that's another hard practice. And then again, that lunch Thursday needs to be very recovery based as well.
Talk to me about Junk Food Friday.
Yeah.
You guys balked a little bit at the beginning of that, and when Doug came back, he was adamant.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big fan of it. It's something that was here during the Andy Reid era. He brought it back, you know, pretty much came in guns blazing, was like, you guys need to bring it back. And I know from a nutritional standpoint, it's not really something that's great, but for a cheat day, is it really as bad as people might think?
No, it's definitely not. And I don't try to demonize any type of food. I think there's a time and place for every type of food. So again, we just talked about how important Wednesdays and Thursdays are. And if we can really get those good foods in them on Wednesdays and Thursdays, then Friday, I'm a little bit less concerned with what's in there. But I think the important part is that we do have at least one healthy option, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if a guy really does want to go in there and stick to it and really eat clean and do those types of things, he can still get that grilled chicken breast made by you, fresh to order, right? He can still get a healthy carbohydrate, a vegetable, that type of thing. So again, it goes back to just having options for everybody. But I think the Friday meals, we do a lot of barbecue and wings and things like that. And I think it's fun for the guys. Like, food doesn't always have to be so serious. So I think there's a time and place to have those types of foods for sure.
I completely agree. Do you have any really guilty pleasure foods that you really enjoy that we make here for you guys?
I probably have to go off the barbecue. I'm from Kansas. So Kansas City barbecue is that's kind of what I grew up on. So I think you guys do an excellent job on that smoker.
Oh, yeah. That thing's a labor of love, man. Yeah,
I think you guys should enter a competition.
We totally want to. I talk with Chef Matt and Chef Jason about that all the time. I would love to do competition barbecue between players and coaches.
Yeah.
And maybe get something going in the off season. I don't know how well we could get to it, but that's a dream of mine, because the barbecue kind of just brings everybody together. I don't really know anybody that's just like, well, I hate barbecue. Yeah, no, barbecue's fantastic. So
I don't know if I want to know that person.
No, I wouldn't want to know them either, man. Did you want to add anything else about performance nutrition and the job that you guys do to take care of these guys?
Again, I think we couldn't do what we do now without the support from the organization. You know, I think we have so many resources available to us and so much support from the top down to do what we do from a nutrition standpoint, to give these players what they need, that I think it's a very unique place. And I think the players, if you see them, if they come from different places and that type of thing, I think they really truly realize that we care about them and care about their well-being. And want what's best for them, and we definitely take care of them from a nutrition standpoint. But you can't do that without full support from the top down in an organization. So very lucky to be here.
I'm very lucky to be here too. I'm proud to be a part of the food service organization for the Philadelphia Eagles and work with Flick International in developing recipes and getting those performance signs out and helping everybody maintain positive atmosphere and a healthy atmosphere to go out and kick butt on Sundays,
that's
man.
Right. Yeah,
so thank you so much, Mike.
Yeah,
I learned so much from you, man, since you came here.
Yeah, appreciate the passion.
Really glad we were able to sit down and do this. Thanks a lot, sir.
Awesome.
What an absolute pleasure it was to sit down with our nutrition coordinator, Mike Minnis. I hope that gives everybody a glimpse a little bit more into what we really do here, because at the core of it, we're all working together. As Mike said, you know, from the top down, full transparency, we're all working together. The chefs, the coaches, the nutrition coordinator, strength and conditioning, all the players are in the know, they're in the mix. We're all concerned about their diet. It's really important as a football team for them to play well together, but I think when they eat well together, it really starts to show on the field. So, cool thing happened after they won the NFC East. We were all given NFC East championship hats, baseball caps, and as the players came in, when I put my hat on the first time for breakfast, I kept thanking them for the hat because I thought it would be like a cute little thing, like, hey, thanks for the hat. And pretty much every single player I talked to with that little joke told me, thank you for making the hat possible. So, I mean, we all see it. We all work together as a family. These guys are fantastic. I'm proud to be part of this organization, proud to work with these guys. So that's going to do it for Feeding the Birds this time. Once again, I am Chef Tim Lopez. I'd like to thank once again my wonderful producers, Ricky Hsu and Brian Thomas, which without this entire thing would not be possible. And I want to also say a Happy New Year to all of our fans out there. Have a safe one, have a good one, and let's keep going with our Philadelphia Eagles. Let's keep rolling. So please join us next time when we step off the field and take a look at what's on the plate. Go Birds!
Well, one time I made meatballs with the meat grinder, and for the pork, I used actual, like, smoked bacon.
Right.
So, put the bacon in there, and the meatballs were unbelievable.
I gotta give that a shot. I never would have thought to use bacon for that.
Yeah, that's use that as idea. The pork.
Okay.
Or at least a portion of the pork. You don't have to use it for
you just do pork and beef, or you put veal in there, too?
No, I just use pork and beef.
Pork and beef.
I'm not a big veal guy. Baby cows, dude.